Before we start, I think we also need to honor David and Sally. I mean, obviously we know there's been a massive event that took place in their lives over the past, how many hours? 24 hours. And the fact that David is here with his whole family, obviously Sally's resting. But just really, really bears testimony to David's heart and his, you know, just, it says where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And just really want to honor David and thank you for your faithfulness and your commitment and, you know, the fact that you're here this morning, even the day after the baby's birth. We don't know the name yet, but the baby's birth, it's a she. And yeah, we just really want to honor you as the leader of this congregation. And yeah, thank you, Father, for David. We just honor him. We just pray a blessing upon him and Sally and the family, Father God. And thank you for their faithfulness, and thank you, Lord, that you will just multiply, Lord, all the seeds they're sowing, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Right. So basically, I'm going to share a word that I shared in Weybridge about a month ago. It was a bit more than a month ago. And, excuse me. It was actually, I don't know who was at the ministry camp, but after ministry camp, there were three things that I know that David and Yaku really felt in their hearts. And one of them was caring for the community, it was launching leaders, and who knows what the third one was? Teacher in me again, asking questions. Sorry, just comes. I'll make a coffee for the person that gets it right. Awesome. Thank you, Charlotte. Neighbor to Nations, how many sugars? Okay, half a sugar, cool. That's not really British because most British people don't drink sugar in their coffee, so wow. I'll remember that. But basically, so I was a bit pushed for time at that point when I was preparing, and then I came across a sermon that I'd preached probably about 5 years ago, and it was called From Houses to Nations. And then I just opened it. You know, and then I just looked at this and I was like, wow, you know, this is like, because sometimes God places something in our hearts and sometimes it's for a certain season, but sometimes we can revisit it at a later season and it's so relevant again. So I was just looking through it and I was like, okay, this is really applicable to where we are at the moment. So I did tweak it slightly and I just changed the houses bit to neighborhoods to obviously fit in with what Yaku and David were feeling. And I did tweak it slightly for you guys as well, although I made a mistake. That's Tooting Station there. It's not South Wimbledon, so I do apologize. But basically, I'm hoping that it will give a visual effect that, and let me just quickly start everything in Scripture, because obviously everything we say needs to be based in the Word. So it's from Acts 1 verse 8, and this is Jesus. Now, we often know about the apostles and Paul and those guys in Acts, but Jesus actually also featured in the beginning of Acts. And he sent the disciples and he said to them, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Now, let me just quickly look at that scripture again. So, if you look there, it starts off in Jerusalem. And that's where everything started. And this was the local community of the apostles. And then he said, and all Judea, which is a province, Samaria, which is wide, and then obviously the end of the earth. We saw Paul traveled like throughout the whole known world at that time. And it's the same for us. So obviously our neighborhood might be South Wimbledon, it might be Putney, it might be Tooting. Wherever God has placed us, this community, this is our neighborhood, this is our Jerusalem. Okay, but then we can go further. Then there's Judea. So you could think of Greater London or Surrey. And then there's Samaria, which could be the whole UK or even Europe. And then obviously the ends of the earth. And it's quite significant. It's amazing. How many nations are represented here, David? Roughly 10? Am I 10? We can safely say 10 nations are represented here. So God has brought us together from all the corners of the earth. And, you know, and we don't know what the future holds. God might send us to other places. But just bear in mind that what's our purpose, our main purpose? Yes, we might get a transfer, a work transfer. We might go to back to our country of origin. We might go to lots of different places for different reasons. But this morning, I just want to leave something with you and just remember that Yes, these things are all like a vehicle, so it might be a transfer or studies or family reasons, whatever. But that's your vehicle to getting to where God wants you to be. But what God actually wants us to do is this, okay, to go and make disciples. So if we go to the next slide, please, Dong. I'm going to base what I'm saying from Matthew 28 this morning, and that's a great commission. And there are lots of different, obviously in Mark you've got a version, Luke you've got a version, Acts you've got a version of what Jesus said just before he left. And this is what he says in Matthew. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. So what I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to sort of look at this bit for bit. Because often when we take a bit of scripture, yes, there are different ways of studying the Bible. Sometimes we can read through, it's good to read through a whole book at a time. And sometimes it's good just to take a little bit like the Great Commission and really break it down. And I'm going to do the second bit this morning. So we'll start off with the first bit there, all authority. Next slide, please. Okay, so basically, what Jesus was saying there to the disciples, he started off and he said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." So I'm just going to go through this bit by bit. In the Amplified Bible, the word authority, it means power of rule. Okay? And how much authority has been given to Jesus? All authority has been given to him. Okay, so everything that the Father had, all the authority he had, he gave to Jesus. He didn't hold back. And that's all authority in heaven and on earth. So Jesus didn't earn it. It was given to him because he was born. He's God's son. So God has given him all that authority. Okay, next slide. So it says in heaven and on earth. I'm going to go through a lot of scriptures this morning, but please bear with me. It's the word of God. It's awesome. Colossians 1 verse 15 to 16. This is about Jesus. "He is the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and on earth." So Jesus said all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. "Visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, principalities or powers." That could be natural rulers of principalities or powers, but it also refers, so that's on earth, but it also refers to heavenly principalities and powers. So obviously you get demons and angels, and Jesus is authority of all of those. "All things were created through him and for him." So everything was created by Jesus and to glorify Jesus. Next slide. "And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it." It's not in it like in it blood, it's like in it. So Jesus is, and we're going to look at some other scriptures later on, but basically Jesus is the head. He's defeated all principalities and all powers. Okay, he's ultimate, he's king. Next one. Okay, so this is really amazing for me. So Jesus has received all authority from the Father, but what does he do? What's the next thing? He says go. So in other words, he's transferring that authority to us. So if we go, we're going in the authority of Jesus. He's not just saying go, he's actually going, he's saying go therefore. And if you see the word therefore, it always refers to what was said beforehand. So Jesus didn't just say to the disciples, "Go and make disciples of all the nations." He first started off by saying, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, go therefore." In other words, you can go in confidence because you can know that the authority I've received from the Father is going with you. So you can make disciples. An example is about 5 years ago, Marika and myself, we purchased a property in South Africa, but we were over here in the UK. And it was quite, you know, we had to obviously have access to our bank accounts there and everything. And we only had the one bank account between the two of us. And she couldn't remember what her online password was. Now, the banking system in South Africa, believe it or not, is actually a bit more high-tech than over here. It's really, really difficult. If you don't visit a branch in person to get any information from them. So we went through all the channels. We knew people that were in the banking, everything, and nobody could help us out. And then for some other reason, she just thought, okay, well, we prayed about it, and then she just remembered to look on her mobile phone. And her mother had sent her a text long ago about with these banking details. So it was a miracle that we got it, and everything went through. But then the next time we were in South Africa, I made a point of giving my mom, what's it called? Uncle, you'll know the word. Power of attorney. In other words, she could basically, she was a signatory. So if something like that happened again, my mom could just go into the branch and sort things out for us. So it's exactly the same. So in other words, God has given us that authority, that power of attorney. He's made us almost signatories. So we can go in confidence. Okay, so what is Jesus telling us to go? He's telling us to go and make disciples. Genesis 1 verse 28. So we're going back to the Old Testament here, but there's quite a similarity between this verse and between the Great Commission. So look here. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." So this was God's commission to Adam and Eve to go and multiply in the earth and to be fruitful. So it's very similar, except Jesus is telling us to go and multiply and make disciples and to rule over the earth in his name. Okay, next one. Romans 10 verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not, of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." So Jesus sends us to preach so people can hear and believe. So just taking that scripture backwards. And, you know, God could easily have just appeared to everybody at one time out of heaven and told the gospel and everybody could have believed. We don't understand God's ways, but God's way is a way God has chosen to share the gospel is through us, through his people. And he's called us to be salt and to be light. So our job, our piece in the puzzle, is just to go. A friend of mine, Shofar had this thing called Go South Africa a few years ago. And it was basically an outreach throughout the whole country. And it was preceded by Tartrek, which is, I know Yaku was on that. And basically, people cycled through the whole of South Africa in 5 weeks and prayed and interceded for the country 7 times, and then like Jericho. And then people would go afterwards and followed up with outreaches. So this friend of mine, he was like, "Oh, I'm not sure if I should go on." It was called Go, if I should go. And then he asked God to show him, to confirm to him. And then while he was praying, he looked up. I think that's how the story went. He looked up and then he saw the car in front of him had a license plate that said Go. Now, we don't need a license plate confirmation that says Go. It's in God's word. It was awesome that God confirmed that to my friend like that. But, you know, if you're in doubt, just go to scripture. Jesus says we need to go. Okay, next one. Ephesians 6 verse 14 to 15. Once again in the feet, stand firm then with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. So this is part of God's armor. And that's the readiness to go. It's a readiness to share the gospel. So, yes, armor is defensive. So we've got the shield of faith, got the helmet of salvation, we've got the breastplate of righteousness, but it's also offensive. So we've got the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and we've got the readiness on our feet to share the gospel. So soldiers aren't just called to defend the kingdom, they're called to advance the kingdom as well. Okay. Okay, so we're in the UK, all nations, and we said earlier on how awesome it is that so many nations here are represented. And you'll see in the news there's a lot of stuff about immigration, and I'm not going to get into political battles and arguments, but at the moment, where we are, the UK is quite multicultural, and that's quite an advantage for the gospel if you think about it. And God's heart is for all the nations. He doesn't favor one group above another. Sometimes, you know, we grow up in a certain place, in a certain culture, and we think this is it, but because we're not really exposed. But a great thing about missions is to, you know, just to, and I want to encourage you, if you ever have the opportunity to go to another country or culture or nation on missions, I really want to encourage you to do it, because it just, apart from going, and you'll receive a blessing if you go, and God will impart something into your heart that you can bring back, it also opens your heart and your mind to see that there's so much more out there. God's heart is for all the nations. And we often think of Christians as maybe Western people, but the majority of the church is actually not the Western church. There are millions of Christians in China. There are millions of Christians in, you know, India, South America, Africa, like so many different cultures. And God's heart is for all of them. So I really want to encourage you just to, even if you just get that exposure, to see God operating in a totally different culture, totally different circumstances, go for it. It's really going to build your faith up. Okay. Next one. So, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. There we see in Scripture, once again, God's heart is for every tongue. And some people have twisted Scripture and said, you know, God favors certain groups or certain people. That's not true. God wants every nation, every tongue, every culture to get to know Him. And we also see Paul often talking about the Gentiles and the Jews, and there's, you know, there's no favoritism. God loves us all the same. Next one. Just some more confirmations from Revelation of that. And this is in Revelation 5. It's a vision that John saw. And then then basically they sang a new song to Jesus, saying, "You're worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you have slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Next one. God our Savior desires all men to be saved and to come to knowledge of the truth. Okay, so God wants, once again, God wants all nations to be saved, all men to be saved. I'm not going to read this whole part again, but basically this is another two chapters later in Revelation. Once again, talks of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, and salvation to them through Jesus. Okay, so we've seen now that God has given us all authority through Jesus. He calls us to go, and He calls us to make disciples of all nations. So what is he actually asking us to do? Now, making converts and making disciples are two different things. Okay, so I just want to sort of balance that statement by saying that there is a role for everybody in the body. So I'm not discounting what evangelists do. Evangelists have their role in the body is to go out and fetch and to make, I don't want to say to make converts, because we're all called to make disciples, but their role is like frontline, bring people in to the kingdom. But then we've got lots of other people in the body to help to keep those people in the body and to train them up in the ways of the Lord and to make sure that they're disciples, not just converts. Because if you're just a convert but you're not grounded or rooted in the Word of God, then it's easy to be deceived and to backslide and all sorts of things like that. So our heart is not just to make converts. Our heart is to make disciples of all nations. Okay, so Jesus is baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And that's a really, really important statement. And that's why it's important. If somebody gets saved and somebody comes into the kingdom, we need to make sure that we disciple them, that somebody takes responsibility for them and teaches them the ways of the Lord. Because I've heard it said, we can't obey some of God's word all the time, but we can't also obey all of God's word some of the time. We've got to obey God's word, all of God's word, all of the time. And that's what discipleship is. It's first of all helping people to realize what is all of God's word. And secondly, it's helping them to get to that place and in that discipline to apply it to their lives all the time. And we're obviously all growing in our knowledge of the word and in our discipline and through God's grace. But that's what we've been called to do. Okay, next one. So there we go, 2 Timothy 3. Paul says to Timothy, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So all scripture there. If you ever wondered, are some bits of scripture more important than others? No, all scripture has been given by God. And all of it, whether it's Leviticus, whether it's Revelation, whether it's the Gospels, whether it's the letters of Paul, or the Psalms, or Proverbs, all of it is being given by inspiration from God. Different people have written it through the ages, and they've been God's agents to write his word, but it's ultimately all inspired by God. And we all, that is our highest ultimate authority. So when you're discipling somebody, or when you're receiving a word from somebody, always test it according to the word. Is it grounded in scripture? Is what we're teaching people grounded in scripture? Or is it just our own nice, you know, our own nice words? Scriptures are ultimate authority, and it will thoroughly equip us for every good work. Okay, next one. Colossians 1 verse 28. Him we preach, Jesus, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom from the scriptures, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. The scripture will help us, God's word will help us to be presented perfect before Jesus one day. Okay. I'm not going to go through this whole bit, but Jesus tells us to baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this is from Ephesians 1, and basically it talks about one body, one spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father above all. So just being true to Scripture in that. Okay, the final bit. So just to recap again, like BBC News, every 10 minutes they recap the headlines. So you can help me here. First thing is, all authority. Thank you, David. David's not allowed to answer anymore. Okay? All authority. And then, next bit. Go. Awesome. And then, sorry, go there for then. All nations. Thank you, disciples of all the nations. And then, making disciples, a discipleship. And then, finally, we've got the promise. Okay? I'm with you. There again, there's the connective, and lo, behold, I don't teach English, and see, I know about connectives. Lo, behold, surely, so this, once again, this follows the previous bit, okay? When we go with God's authority, what is there? There's a promise that God is with us always, even to the end of the earth. Jesus says, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. And he gives us his Holy Spirit. In John 14, verse 2, I think he says, I will never leave you. I will not leave you as orphans. I'll give you the Holy Spirit when I leave. And the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, it's the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead that is now living inside of us. And it's the same Spirit that Jesus referred to in that very first scripture, Acts 1, verse 8, where he says, the Spirit will help you to have... will give you power to be my witnesses. And I can just testify in my own life. I'd been a Christian for 5 years. I'd been saved for 5 years. I got saved when I was 14. And when I was in my first year at university, I realized that there was something more that, you know, I was becoming a bit frustrated in my walk with the Lord. And then I just asked God to baptize me with the Holy Spirit, to fill me with the Holy Spirit. And I really just received that, what the word's about power. It was not striving anymore. It was just learning to trust God and to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, to what he's saying to me. Spending time in the Word, praying in the Spirit, hearing what God says, and then doing. And that just made a massive difference in my life. So when I was praying for people, I could actually get scriptures to encourage them, specific scriptures. Or I'd see a specific picture or a specific word or a specific prophecy. You know, I started seeing how God can heal people if they're sick. And not to say, wow, you know, whatever. It actually points people to Jesus. It glorifies Jesus. And that's the thing about the gifts. We follow Jesus. We follow his word. We go, and then the other things follow. We don't follow the signs. We don't follow the wonders. We follow Jesus, and the signs and the wonders, whatever, is needed to glorify and will follow us. And that's the big thing. A lot of people get deceived. And the thing is, God is a giver. He's perfect in his giving. So when he gives us something, he's not going to take it away. But we need to be good stewards of those gifts and not make them idols. And just always focus on Jesus. Okay. So, so also coming from South Africa, over there, I'd say spiritually, it's a bit more open. So you'll walk into a shopping mall and you'll see Christian bookshops. Or you'll be at the airport and you'll see Christian books. Most people will tell you they go to church, even though they might not be saved. So it's a lot easier in many aspects there than over here. And so when I first came here, I was thinking, wow, Lord, it's quite hard here. It's quite tough here spiritually. And I really had to grab hold of the scripture that God is the same. You know, if I'm in South Africa or I'm here, or if I'm in India or wherever I go to, God is there. Jesus says he's with us. So he sent me here for a reason. Yes, I'm working as a teacher, but God has called me first and foremost for this, Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. And that's a vehicle. And I don't know what the future holds, but I know wherever he sends me, he's going to be with me. Okay. So, and there, Deuteronomy 31, God also says, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. For the Lord is, he goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Okay, I'm going to quickly bridge. I'm going to share, I've only got less than 10 minutes. I'm just going to share a quick testimony. If you got the next one, please, Dong. God wants us to work with him, not for him. So it says there, the Lord, they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word through the accompanying signs. So we just spoke about that. Dong, sorry. And I'm just going to talk about that fear bit. So God says, do not fear. So this is one-third, two-thirds principle. David touched on it last week at Liberty. But basically, Elisha had a servant, and the people wanted to catch Elisha. The king didn't like what Elisha said. So he sent his army and that surrounded the city where Elisha was, and they were about to capture him. And then Elisha's servant was really afraid. And then Elisha wasn't phased at all, and he just said, Lord, open my servant's eyes so he can see. And then the servant's eyes opened, and then he saw, he said, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And then he basically saw this city surrounded by angels and chariots of fire. And then all the people were struck with blindness, and God saved Elisha. So he was really confident. God wants to give us that same confidence, but we just need to realize this principle. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. It says in 1 John, it says, greater is he who is in you than he is in the world. So the Holy Spirit that Jesus has given us is greater than the devil in the world. He's given us authority. Jesus is a final authority. So we don't have to fear. So if you are afraid, look in God's word. It says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And also, just on the side, somebody once shared this with me to encourage me, and he said, in Revelation 12, it talks about the angels, a third of the angels fell as stars. Satan took a third of the, or something, and a lot of people see that as a third of the angels fell and became demons, but that means two-thirds of the angels are still on God's side, are still fighting for Jesus. So once again, the army for us is larger than the army against us. Even though there are lots of demons and things, God is greater. Okay. Just finally, I'm just going to share a few testimonies. So for the last 5 minutes. So you guys saw Vanna that was here, when was it? 3 weeks ago. That came from Secunda, the rugby guy. So he was just sharing a few things. So I just thought a few principles I'd share. Maybe, and it might be applicable for the Houses to Nations thing. So the first thing was, we were at this res together, and we basically, there was nothing there, no home group. There were a few Christians, but nothing was really going on there. So so as I said earlier on, I asked God to fill me with the Holy Spirit, and God really gave me a heart to pray for this res. And I went to a home group once, and all I can remember was I said, get a target, get somebody to pray for. That's all I could remember from the home group. And then I targeted the roughest first year in the res. And this guy, I don't know if you know Jan Louis, it was his younger brother, big guy, Andres. And he got saved, and then the two of us got together and we started praying for the res, and we prayed and we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. So we were like-minded. We were in unity. It says we're God's where there's unity, God commands a blessing. And then we just began to pray, and we trusted God for our area of influence, which was a residence. And then I stood for a leadership position in the res, and God blessed me with this leadership position. And then I was able to help determine who we could get into the res in the following year. So I just sort of vanished, this guy, I'm going to get him into the res. He's awesome. He's going to connect with the first res, and he did. God brought him into the res. I was a senior in the res, so you don't really connect with the first res in the same way another first year would. And then Vanna started operating under the first res. So now we were three, Vanna, Andres, and myself, and we had authority, position of authority, but we also used that authority for God's glory. And we took ownership. Then it was my time to leave, and I thought, okay, I'm going to leave here, but we need to leave a legacy in this place. So everything I've learned, things like just carry on praying for the first is go around. We used to anoint the rooms before the people came in. I'm gonna impart this into Vanna because he needs to take the vision further. So I was what they call the vice primot, which is like the head student of the res, and then Vanna became the head student of the res. So everything I knew and I'd learned over those years, I just imparted. Vanna, people walked into his room and they asked, what must I do to be saved? Literally, these rough guys, what must I do to be saved? And after 2 years, then, there were like 8 home groups in the res. So we went from nothing to 8 home groups in quite a short period of time. And I'm not saying that to take the glory at all. I want to give God all the glory. I also want to say there were people before our time that really prayed a lot for that res. But I just thought from the houses to nations thing, or neighborhoods to nations, there are a few practical steps we can take. First of all, let's trust God for like-minded people here. And I'm going to finish now. Pray, which we do. There's intercession here. We need to make use of that. Ownership and authority. Leave a legacy and give God all the glory. Last slide is just some practical steps. What can we do? Action points. And I'm just going to connect that to Matthew 28 again. Matthew 28 is about the Great Commission. And it's about going. And it's about going in the authority of Jesus. So let's make it, how can we make it practical? And just 5 questions I've got for you, or points. The first one is, where can we connect in the community? And like Vanna said, it's not, community doesn't mean your physical next door neighbor. It might be, you might have a relationship with that person, but it's, in these days, it's more like work. Where do you spend the most time with people? Work is one of them. You might belong to a sports club or a different society or something like that. So community means those people we spend time with. Where can we connect with them? And secondly, are there like-minded people? So when I got here, I found a guy that was also a Christian at my workplace, and we started praying together at the workplace. And God added to our number and started doing awesome things. Next thing is trust God. Where's our faith at? So are we putting our faith in ourselves and our own ability? Because we will be disappointed if we do that. We will become discouraged. And I find the times when I feel really discouraged is when I'm actually trusting myself. I'm actually like, Lord, how can I make this work? And it's actually realizing, Lord, it's your heart to see people changed. You will give me everything I need. I just need to trust in you. So maybe if we discourage this morning, maybe we just need to take a step back. And like Martha, who was working, Jesus said to Mary, has chosen, I don't know if you know the parable, I'm not going to go into, I don't have time, but he said to Mary, she was sitting at his feet, receiving from him, she's chosen the better thing. So trusting in God. And then he will help us to aim high. Next thing is intercession. So as I said, maybe find somebody at your workplace or in your community, join intercession that the church runs as well. And maybe if you have the opportunity to go for a position of influence, you know, God will bless, not for our glory, but we've got more influence. For example, when I was able to get Vanna into the res, just trusting God for maybe that's for somebody here this morning. Maybe you've got an opportunity to go for something or a different position or whatever. Trust God. Ask God, Lord, how can I use this for your glory? In whom can you impart? So ideally, all of us should have somebody that we're investing in and that we're raising up. So ask God, Lord, is there somebody that I can impart into? And God will show you and give you opportunities and the ability. And the last thing is, as we said, it's all about Jesus. It's not about us. It's not so we can have great stories. It's God's heart to reach all the nations. So that's basically all for this morning. But I just want to encourage you to spend time in God's Word. And if something doesn't make sense to you, ask Him. And He will reveal it to you. And I believe He will show you in His Word as well. And yeah, when you're reading the Word, just ask God to open your heart and to show you His will, what His will is in this regard. Okay, I'm just going to pray for us. Father, we just come to You this morning, Lord, and we just want to thank You, Lord God. We want to thank You that the name of Jesus is a name above every other name, and that we can go in that authority that Jesus has given us, Lord. And thank You, Lord, that You've not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind, God. God, I just bind any confusion. I bind any negativity, God, anything that might withhold us from sharing the gospel, God, and from going, and any fear that might paralyze us, God. And I just pray this morning for release, Lord, that Your army, God, Your people, God, will be released, Lord, to not just to defend, not just to put up the shield of faith and have the armor of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness, but also to be on the offensive, God, to spend time in Your Word, and secondly, to go, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Thank You for a boldness, Lord, this morning that we can just call forth, Father God. Thank You, Lord, for the authority of Jesus that we can go in, Lord. And thank You for the tools You give us to make disciples. But thank You most of all for Your Word and for Your Holy Spirit and for each other, Father God, that we can learn from. And Father God, I just pray that this, thank You, Lord, that You're always with us and that You will never leave us nor forsake us, Lord. Thank You for Your heart for all the nations, Father God. And Lord, I just pray this morning that You will help us to make Your Word practical, Lord, in whatever that means for each one of us individually, Lord, and as a body, Father. I just pray, Lord, for unity here, Lord, because where there's unity, You command a blessing. So I pray for unity at intercession, and I pray for unity, God, in home group. Pray for unity in church, and I also pray, Lord, for unity, even if we're not physically together, but just for that encouragement and that support throughout the week, wherever we are, Father, to go out and make disciples, Lord. I pray, Lord, for like-minded people that we can connect with, Lord. I pray, Father, for greater positions of influence and authority, and that we will steward that wisely, God, to advance Your kingdom. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that we will involve You in every decision and every situation as well, Father God. And Lord, thank You, Father God. Thank You that we can give You all the glory, God. And thank You for everybody's testimony here. We just want to honor You this morning, Lord God. We just pray, make Your Word real in our lives, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Alistair. We're going to sing in a couple of minutes one of the songs we sang earlier. Come along to intercession whenever you can. Alistair mentioned it just now in his prayer about unity and intercession. It's amazing when you just get together with, whether sometimes it's two or three people or it might be 10, and you pray something and never feel that you can't pray what someone has already prayed, because that's probably what God's saying if two or more people are hearing it. And there's a maths teacher on my right and a science teacher on my left, so I might get corrected here. But 2 + 2 = 4. And 2 × 2 = 4. So, look, you're not going to correct me, are you? Okay. Multiplication starts small. That's all I want to say. Multiplication starts small. It starts with adding one or two. And if you can just add your prayer, your one or two prayers, to the prayers that are there, God takes that and He actually multiplies. So you might have been listening to Alice's sermon and thinking, yeah, well, South Africa is different. But He actually took that get out clause away, because the world is the same, because it's God's. And Just as we sing 10,000 Reasons for My Heart to Find, what I'd like us to do, just between us and God, is, you know, God thinks about the whole world and, you know, 10,000 and 10 million and 10 billion and whatever we go beyond that. But if we can just start with the one and the two, then he'll take us wherever it may be. What do I mean by the one and the two? So just as we sing this song, think about either imparting or partnering. Okay? You impart to somebody if you're able to teach them. If something you've received, Jesus said, freely received, freely give, you can impart that to somebody else. But you might feel, oh, okay, well, there's not very much I've received. Then just think about with whom can you partner? Is there someone at work with whom you can pray? Is there someone at home that you can fast with? Whatever it may be. So just as we think, just think about partnering with someone or think about imparting to someone. And just let me encourage you with this. We had a baby girl born yesterday, and we don't yet have a name for her. When God gives us, he often gives in part. Now, he's able to give fully, but he gives in part. Why? Just so that we can learn to trust. Just so that we can learn he's got the steps planned way down the line. So you might think, I don't know it all. That person may not accept if I ask them to pray with me at work. Don't worry about what you don't know. Don't worry about what you don't have. If Holy Spirit just stirred something in you when Alistair was preaching or when we were worshiping earlier, then just go with that, and then we'll close after we've sung this song together.